Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study on Ephesians chapter 5, we were talking about the fact that anybody guilty of the sins of the improper language does not have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Romans 8, 17 and 18, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, there's talking about sufferings and so forth, but he uses in that passage the word if, in speaking of joint heirs. And notice, it is in his kingdom. How long is his kingdom? It's forever. Now, with an inheritance, one does not work for an inheritance. Someone else already earned it. However, God, in his grace, gives it to those he loves. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So an inheritance is by relationship to grace. So when one leaves an inheritance to someone else, it's not that that someone else earned it, but it's just the grace of the giver. And so when we get to heaven, there will be men that will be saved, but so as by fire, because they missed the if. They did not suffer with him. They did not serve him. They did not do those things that they should do. And then some of these things listed here in verses 3 and 4 and 5 are true in their lives, and they won't repent of it and turn from it. And that's the person who loses out on the inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He's saved so as by fire. People who practice any of these sins are people who are saved by fire, so as by fire, and ashamed at his appearing, as 1 John 2:28 says. I believe all will know why you are in that condition, saved so as by fire, when all secret things are revealed. Many, if not all, have been guilty at one time of one, if not all, of these sins. And the idea is of one who continues in them instead of overcoming them. Now, let me just make a special note here. In the Greek, here in this verse, in the kingdom of Christ, the article appears before Christ, but there is not an article before God in the Greek. So the kingdom of the Christ and of God. Now you say, well, why are you saying that? Because the word and is a connective, and it places them in the same proximity, making it show the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we call this a Greek couplet. Now, don't leave me. Please don't leave me as you're listening. This is what I'm trying to say by that little statement. The Savior who indwells you by his Holy Spirit is Almighty God. This pure and holy one is the authority for making the statements in this passage. He is the lover of our souls that a Christian offends when he sins. So, the reason for putting, saying they have not any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God, he's showing us both the deity of Christ, that these things come from him, and he's giving us these things that we might avoid them and that we may have a great inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. In Revelation chapter 3, we all talk about the church of Laodicea, about spewing out of the mouth, and for some reason, that becomes the focal point in many sermons. And yet, that's not the main focal point of that passage. The main focal point is this. He that overcometh will sit down with me in my throne. The same ones he said that if you're lukewarm, I spew you out of my mouth. Then he says, buy me gold tried in the fire and so forth. Why does he say that to them? That they might sit with him in his throne. God's first desire is that they'll be able to sit with him and reign in his throne. But before they can do that, they must buy of him gold tried in the fire and then the eye salve that they may see. And so he goes on and lists those things that they should do. And so, my friend, understand that the Word of God is there, even when it tells you the negative things, so that you might know the right thing to do. That's why the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to know that if you die today, that heaven's your home. Now, my friend, the Bible calls you to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the Lord. In Acts 17:30, it says there that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world. Now let me just say this about repentance. A changed life is not required for salvation. God does the saving and the life changing. A changed mind is required. The person who has never changed his mind about God, sin, Christ, and the Bible has never been saved. The new birth is God giving man a new nature. How could this new nature fail to produce a new life? Could God live within an individual's heart without being evidenced in that person's daily life? The Bible teaches that's not possible. Now, there have been good men that have fallen. I would have told you that Lot was not a saved man had not the New Testament said that that righteous man, which means he was saved, vexed his soul every day with the deeds of the evil. I'm not saying that a Christian cannot be carnal. Christians can be carnal in a whole lifetime of carnality. But there will always be the chastening of God through their carnality. Not only chastening, but the scourging of God upon them. God chastens and scourges his own. You see, regeneration is God's work also. A man can't work up the new birth. He can't work for it. He can't work to keep it. God gives the new birth as a gift of his grace, but he only gives it to those who repent and place their full confidence in the Lord. Now, I'm not speaking of lordship salvation, which has the idea that the true believer will make Christ Lord of every area of his or her life when they get saved, and they'll never struggle with sin. Those who struggle with sin afterwards were probably not yielded properly to Christ's lordship, and so they're not saved. Well, my friend, those who teach that deny there is such a thing as a carnal Christian. And I reject that as unbiblical and false doctrine. But repentance is a fundamental duty. Fundamental means pertaining to a foundation. That's why we preach the word. It's the foundation. It is enumerated as one of the first principles in salvation according to Hebrews 6:1-2. In Luke 24:44-7, we see it was the first step God gave in the Great Commission. Salvation's not difficult, my friend. And God did not make it difficult. It is a sinner acknowledging his sin. Conviction is the Holy Spirit's job, not the sinner, as we see it in John 16:8-9. Salvation does not produce perfection, but it does require repentance. And repentance is a change of mind toward God, sin, Jesus Christ, and the Bible. And that change will result in a change of action. Repentance is not turning from all sin in the sense of some sort of sinless perfection in this flesh, but it is a change of mind towards sin so that the sinner no longer intends to walk in rebellion against God. It is turning from a life of self-will to a life of submission. Salvation does not require obedience, but it will result in obedience. Acts 20:21, we don't divorce faith in God from repentance. Christ is the anchor of my soul. My faith is exclusively in him. It's not in myself. My faith is not in my changed life nor my Christian experience. That word repentance is mentioned in the Gospels 27 times and 59 times in the rest of the New Testament. That is a heavy emphasis because that is God's way. Now, I've said all that about repentance to say this. It is the shed blood of Jesus Christ that saves you. He did all the work. He wants to save you. So he says repent. Repent means to turn. It means to change the mind. So instead of depending on yourself, you're going to depend upon God. And so you're turning from yourself and you're turning from your sin. Now you realize you can't overcome sin. You can't. So repentance is a spiritual thing. It's like going to a doctor and needing surgery. You know you need the surgery, and you want to remove that growth that's inside your chest. And the way you do that is not to cut yourself open and try to remove it yourself, but instead, you trust the one who can do it, because you can't do it yourself. You cannot remove the sin. You cannot forgive your own sin, but you need the one who can. And Jesus Christ is that person. With your heart, you believe. You turn your life to him. And with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Other words, yes, I believe you. The scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed, so they will call upon the Lord for their salvation. I've had people say, you know what? I went ahead and prayed a prayer, but I know I was saved that moment when I stepped out, for example, at church down that aisle. To start walking down that aisle, I was saved then. I'd already received it. And that's probably true. And yet, wouldn't it have been rebellious to not pray? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why not right now, bow your head, believing that Jesus died for you, shed his blood for you, and rose up from the dead 3 days later. Why not through prayer invite him into your life right now? You say, I don't know how to pray. Well, then pray a prayer like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I need forgiveness. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood on the cross and died for my sin. I believe that 3 days later, he rose up from the dead. I right now invite Jesus Christ into my life as my Lord, as my God, as my Savior. Save me right now. I give you my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, my friend, if you just prayed that prayer and you meant that, and you're giving your life to the Lord, write us and let us know that you have made this decision. Whosoever believeth would not be ashamed. My friend, you're not ashamed of what you did. You meant what you did. Then write us and let us know that. Well, my friends, I want to thank you for listening in today. Please listen in again next time as we start in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. Please ask your friends to listen to our Lamp and Light broadcast, because that's how the Lamp and Light grows. And my friend, please allow the lamp of God's Word to be the light that you follow today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast. 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.